from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session. JPR Live sessions are recorded with Audix microphones. Audix, when sound matters. My guests today have released 9 studio records, the latest called Wild and Reckless. 3 of them join me in the Steve Nelson Performance Studio today. From my left to my right, Marty Marquis, Eric Early, Brian Cook, Blitzen Trapper. Hello. Welcome to JPR. It's good to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You guys have now been a band for almost 16 years, something like that, right? What was it that initially brought you guys together?
I mean, a lot of us grew up together in the same town and kind of...
Where was that?
Pals and in Salem.
Okay.
And then I met Marty in college down in the South in Georgia. And I don't know, we all kind of played music and we just kind of started doing it.
Now, over the years and the albums and the interviews and the performances, I have heard both Blitzen Trapper and Blitzen Trapper.
Okay.
Which one is it?
I mean, there's no right answer to that.
And why is it? Where did the name come from to begin with?
There's no answer to that either, really.
Really?
I mean, there's several answers, none of which are true, but I can give you any number.
No one else had used it? Is that it?
That could be it, yeah.
Yeah, we are running out of band names these days. Like, there's a band called Car Seat Headrest.
Yep.
Yeah.
All the good ones have been taken already, right?
Pick any object, yeah.
So how do the songs that you guys make now match the ideas that you had as young men getting together to make a band at first? Do they match?
I mean, no, you know, I'm always writing songs from where I'm at that point in life, really. So, I mean, there's always going to be a common thread, I think, throughout my songwriting. But, yeah, I mean, it changes all the time, depending upon what I'm into or what I'm thinking about or what phase of life I happen to be in.
Yeah. Early on, what kind of music were you guys into? What kind of stuff
early
was,
on?
Yeah, what kind of stuff was influencing you when you started?
Lots and lots of different stuff, honestly. I mean, because we were all into slightly different music and then some of the same stuff, but it was all over the place. I mean, everything from like Caetano Veloso, you know, Brazilian music, yeah, to like Black Sabbath to
Zappa.
To Zappa, Joe Walsh. Like, we were into a lot of different stuff.
Over the years, have you come together more or have you diversified more in terms of your individual interests?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean,
I think the music has become far more rational as the years have gone on, as we've discovered who our audience actually is and what we're good at, you know, and what makes a good show. But I think probably we all have kind of our own lives more than we did when we were in our 20s and just kind of hanging out all the time. So we probably have different kinds of interests more than we used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marty, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask about how the idea of the band fits your lives now compared to 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I mean, we have families and stuff, me and Marty do. And yeah, I mean, the road is definitely different now. Yeah, I mean, it's just everything changes all the time.
Yeah, you know, before you ever get out of your town and the place that you're coming up, you have all these dreams and ideas of what it means to be successful, you know, and to figure out what you can do on a bigger stage. And, you know, we've done that. And so we know what the deal is. We know what it's like to be on tour for 7 months out of the year and play TV shows and play big festival stages and stuff. And so there's less mystery and a lot more nitty gritty, you know, real.
Have you come to settle on the part of it that you like best or where you feel most comfortable?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, the industry just keeps changing. And I mean, at this point, yeah, we're kind of just playing random shows here and there. We're not really touring that much anymore. But yeah, I don't really know. At this point, there's no real plan anymore as to like, oh, we're going to do this and this and that. It's going to be next year. You know what I mean? We're kind of just like have our own lives in certain ways, but we always come back to play songs, you know, when it's needed, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite part is just seeing crowds who are, you know, who are able to achieve some measure of ecstasy by watching a live show and singing along.
Yeah.
You know, dancing maybe even.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see what we can do with a live radio broadcast. Okay. Blitz and Trapper, my guests in the studio today. Their newest release is called Wild and Reckless. What are you guys going to play first for us?
Oh, we're going to play Black River Killer.
It was just a little while past the Sunset Strip. Found a girl's body in an open pit. Her mouth was so shut, her eyes were still wide. Gazing through the fog to the other side. They booked me on a whim and threw me deep in jail. With no bail, sitting silent on a rusty pail. Just gazing at the marks in the opposite wall. Remembering the music of my lover's call, yeah. So you make no mistake, I know just what it takes to pull a man's soul back from heaven's gates. I've been wandering in the dark about as long as sin, but they say it's never too late to start again. Oh when, will the spirit come calling for my soul to send? Oh when, will the keys to the kingdom be mine again? Dark as the grave, it was just about three. When a warden with his key came to set me free. They gave me $5 and a secondhand suit, a pistol and a hat and a worn out flute. So I took the bus down to the Rio Grande, and I shot a man down on the edge of town. Then I stole me a horse and I rode it around, till the sheriff pulled me in and he set me down. He said, you make no mistake, I know just what it takes. Pull a man's soul back from heaven's gates. I've been wandering in the dark about as long as sin, but they say it's never too late to start again. Oh when, will the spirit come calling for my soul to send? Oh when, will the keys to the kingdom be mine again? Sheriff, let me go with a knife and a song. So I took the first train up to Oregon, and I killed the first man that I came upon. Cause the devil works quick, you know he don't take long. Then I went to the river for the tiki swim. You know that black river water, it's as black as sin. And I washed myself clean as a newborn babe. Then I picked up a rock to sharpen my blade. Oh when, will the spirit come calling for my soul to send? Oh when, will the keys to the kingdom be mine again? Oh when, will that black river water wash me clean again? Oh when, will the keys to the kingdom be mine again?
That is Blitz and Trapper playing live for us today here at Jefferson Public Radio. Their newest release is called Wild and Reckless. Information is at blitzandtrapper.net. I want to go back in time a little bit because there has just been recently an anniversary of a pretty important record in your output. Fur came out now a little over 10 years ago, but back in what, like 2008, I believe. Mm-hmm. And Eric, you talked about that record being kind of a nostalgic musical portrait of what life was like in Portland back then. How has it changed, not only as a resident, but as a musician identified with the city?
Yeah, I mean, the city's changed a lot. I mean, everywhere's changed, of course, but yeah, the city's a lot different. A lot more people, more money, more traffic.
More bands?
Yeah, I mean, probably. Yeah, I would imagine so. It's hard to say, though. I mean, it seems like now there's a lot of, I mean, people play music for all kinds of different reasons. But back then, there wasn't really, like most of the bands we were playing with, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, industry motivation. We were all kind of just partying and having fun and doing whatever. And occasionally someone would get signed, but then everybody started to get signed at like right around 07, 08, like all these different bands were getting deals in Portland. So it was a pretty exciting place. You were like, oh, we could actually make money doing this, maybe. yeah. But now it's different. It's not a cheap place to live anymore. Whereas back then, yeah, we could all just kind of work a little and play music a lot. Now it's the opposite of that.
For the reissue of this record, you went back to the label that was released on Sub Pop and added a bunch more stuff, almost another full record worth of material to that. For folks that are not familiar or that familiar with your output, is that the place they should start? Or where do you think they should start to discover the music and the songs of Blitz and Trapper?
Yeah, that's a pretty good place to start. I mean, I think that a lot of that songwriting is very succinct, and it's very typical of the kind of narrative songwriting that I just kind of always do. Hmm. Yeah, there's a certain simplicity to that a lot of that songwriting that I really, looking back on it, I like it a lot.
You mentioned once that you at times had no idea what you were talking about in those songs.
That's very common for me to just sort of enjoy creating lines and rhymes and whatever, and just kind of letting the meaning just exist in my subconscious somewhere.
Yeah. When you went out on tour for that anniversary, you were doing the record start to finish, like in the order the songs appeared on the record.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that an odd experience to A, go back to old catalog of the songs that probably weren't regularly in your set list, but also to do them in such a rigid, structured order?
Yeah, it was a little weird. It was kind of cool, though. I don't know. It's like we've gotten used to just playing random songs from random albums. So it's kind of nice to just be like, all right, we're just playing this record. But it's also a pretty diverse record, which I hadn't really remembered. But there's a lot going on. So it was fun to play every night. And there was a lot of room for improvisation in some of the songs, too. So it kind of, it almost is like a nutshell of our live show, that record. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of live show, Wild and Reckless got turned into a very interesting live show that I want to talk about in just a bit. Blitz and Trapper, my guest in the studio today. Their latest is called Wild and Reckless, and they're live in the studio. What do you guys want to do next?
We're going to do a song called Stolen Shoes and a Rifle.
Weather's like feathers on fire. The ground's like sand in my feet. I can't stop my shaking. I've been traveling so low. And the shoes I've been wearing, well, they're lonesome and slow. Thank you.
That is Blitz and Trapper playing live for us today here at Jefferson Public Radio. Their latest release came out in 2017. It's called Wild and Reckless. Information is online at blitzandtrapper.net. Let's talk about that record, Wild and Restless. This came out a couple of years back now and was turned into a stage production. There are some conflicting reports of whether it was an album first or a stage production first, but Eric, you have mentioned that the songs were largely in existence already. How did this get turned into a stage production? How in the world did you get pulled into that world, and what was it for folks who haven't seen it?
So the songs were all written. I had demoed everything out. I'd even recorded a lot of it. We just got approached by Portland Center Stage, the Armory, because one of the directors had gone to college with Brian. And so they were looking for a band to do a piece around. And so they just asked me, do you have anything? And I was like, oh, yeah, totally. I got something. Even though I didn't really, but.
And NPR called it a rock opera. Is that how you thought of it?
Kind of, yeah. In a certain way. It was like a opera / musical kind of thing. I mean, it was a lot of like narration, like talking to the audience kind of deal, like first person narrative, but mixed with songs and with acting too. So yeah, it was all kinds of stuff.
Was that an easy transition, or were there acting lessons or improv lessons involved in figuring it out?
It was a pretty easy process actually, in terms of like, we all kind of like got into it and made it happen. I don't know. It all just kind of seemed to come together, to be honest. There wasn't any moments where it was like, oh man, this isn't working. You know, we had two really great directors, and then the other actors that they got, were really great too. So yeah.
Was it the kind of thing that evolved over performances?
It evolved over over a year of working on it and workshopping it.
How many shows were there?
It ran for a month and a half, yeah. Something like that. So a bunch, I don't know.
25.
You think that'll ever come back?
No.
No.
I mean, the amount of money and infrastructure needed to put it on was a lot.
Yeah. And the story was what? It was sort of a commentary on the opioid crisis, right?
Kind of, yeah. It was based on my own experiences in my late 20s. And, it was mainly a love story, but the backdrop of it was, it was like substance abuse and homelessness, actually. Yeah.
Things that are definitely there in Portland.
Yeah, definitely.
And everywhere else.
Yeah.
So before we went on the air, you guys were talking about how you are doing shows here and there, not doing a ton of touring these days. There are sort of nebulous plans for another record at some point in the future, but no definite
there
plans.
Are.
Well, you write music. You've got friends who play music.
I still write music. You're
at
right.
At some point, they will be recorded.
You got me.
And
there, yeah.
Whether they are officially released or not, they will end up in the hands of people who like listening to your music.
Okay. True.
So what else is going on? I know, that, Eric, you have mentioned that you've written a couple of novels and other writing. Is that something that you ever plan to dive into with both feet?
I don't know. I mean, there's not really much money in writing or anything of that nature. I do it for fun. But, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say what the future holds at this point. I really don't know.
Well, at least we know what the future holds for tonight.
Yes.
That is a show in Medford.
Important.
I'm glad you guys are here. Thanks for finally being able to stop by and do this for us.
It's great. Thanks for having us, Eric.
Blitz and Trapper, my guests in the studio today. The record is called Wild and Restless. Marty Marquis is here. Eric Early is here. Brian Cook is here. You guys have one more tune, yeah?
Yeah. Which one is this, Marty?
This one's called Jericho. Yeah.
When we came upon the plain, you could hear the children saying, there's no way we're gonna take that city there. 'Cause there's nothing but the wind that's going out and coming in over empires reaching that far up in the air. The city like a drum beaten by long arm of the sun. Ooh, yeah. clouds of dust we raised, we marched around that place for days. Priests would blow on their ramps horns now and again. No other sound we made, from above they watched amazed. It was like a race besieged them. Went down as a rout, raised those walls with nothing but a shout, with nothing but a shout.
That one is called Jericho. Blitz and Trapper playing live today here at Jefferson Public Radio. Their latest release is called Wild and Reckless. Information is online at blitzandtrapper.net. JPR live sessions are supported by and recorded with Audix microphones. Located in Wilsonville, Oregon, Audix designs, engineers, and manufactures high-performing, innovative products that contribute to the advancement of the professional audio industry. Eric, Brian, Marty, Blitz and Trapper, thanks again for coming by. It's great to see you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.